All right, so this is Todd Atkins. I'm back releasing some more audio episodes. I know it's been a little while, but I have about 4 or 5 episodes I'm going to release, and this is one of the first ones I did with Kayla Sustaita, who's an amateur fighter out of Edinburgh, Texas. She trains at a gym called Black Star Kickboxing and MMA in Edinburgh, Texas. And in this episode, we kind of talked about her debut fight and also about how training got her through some personal trauma and, you know, life tribulations, and how she wanted to empower women through some of her competition, also through her perseverance through these, you know, personal issues she had that you know, she got help with through competing. And, you know, on my show, I have people of all kinds of different, you know, whether they're just starting out or whether they fought 50 times or promoters, managers, whatever. So, Kayla, she's only had one fight, but she's about to have her second fight on October 28th. And, yeah, so this is going to be an interview with Kayla Sustaita. I was glad to have her on, and you guys should check it out. And for everyone who, as always, check out Live to Fight Design. They're my sponsor. And if you use my promo code, Todd Atkins, you can contact them at Live2FightDesign on Instagram. And they make fight banners and for fighters and gym banners as well. And yeah, everyone who listens to these episodes, I appreciate the support. And check this one out, Kayla Sustaita. All right, so this is Todd Atkins, and I'm here with Kayla Sustaita, who just had her first amateur fight. And we're going to talk about kind of her beginnings in MMA, kind of reflection on her first fight, some things she's looking toward the future, and whatever else we get into today. And before we start, I just want to thank my sponsor, Live to Fight Design. Use my promo code Todd Atkins. You can find them at Live to Fight Design on Instagram. They make fight banners and gym banners. You can get $20 off your order there. And Kayla, I'm going to thank you for taking the time to do this, obviously. And, you know, I kind of wanted to ask you, like, when did you first find the sport of MMA or maybe martial arts in general?
Yeah, not that long ago. Man, it seems like forever ago, but it really wasn't. So COVID happened and we were in lockdown. Working as an environmental consultant, and so I was blessed to have still been working during a time. It's a very lonely job, and I wanted to do something different, so I started CrossFit, and I would watch these guys do kickboxing and boxing. And so one day I said, you know what, I want to give it a try. And so I tried a class there. And I said, hey, I really like this. Eventually the times didn't work out. So I was still working. I'm a mom. I was in grad school at the time too. So I stopped and I found a different gym that had a time that worked for me. And that's Black Star Kickboxing. And I've only been kickboxing for 2.5 years. I'm nearing my 3-year mark. But that is when I first got introduced into any sort of martial arts, was through kickboxing almost 3 years ago.
And where's this gym, Black Star, at?
In Edinburgh, Texas. So South Texas. I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. We are a hop and a skip away from Mexico. Sometimes we just go over, you know, on a Saturday and just walk over the bridge and you're in Mexico. So I did grow up in a border town.
Is it that easy just to walk over?
It is. It really is. A lot of people will go and spend the whole day there. And so there's one particular town called Progreso, and people will go and have drinks, get their nails done, go eat, go shopping, and then just come back. It is that easy. For my parents, I know, they told me they were in high school and the drinking age in Mexico is 18. So they would go all the time and spend, spend weekends over there and get their parents mad. But It's not so common to stay the night anymore.
Now, you said you hadn't been training all that long when you took your first fight.
I haven't. But it was, I loved it. I was going consistently to kickboxing because it was helping me so much with my mental health. And I guess just through consistency, it got to a point where my coach was like, "Hey, do you realize that you've learned a lot coming and you're picking things up? Do you think you want to take this somewhere?" And I said, "Yeah, let's give it a go." And so we tried to find a match for a long time, and it didn't work out. The first time I got matched, I went all the way up to the weigh-ins, and the girl showed up 9 pounds over, so that fight got canceled. And then I was gonna fight a kickboxing fight in June, and my opponent got hurt. So then I took this most recent match, which is a Muay Thai fight in July, on 4 weeks, just about notice. And that was my first fight. And I lost, but I'm happy that I got a first fight finally after trying so hard to get one. At least one finally came through.
But I mean, how did that come about? Because so your coach came to you and asked you if you wanted to do something that quickly, or?
Well, yes. Because again, he just said, "Hey, you've been so consistent and you're learning and you're doing well. So is this something that you would like to try?" And I said, "Yeah, let's do it." Just excited.
Now, did you have any reservations because you weren't training that long, or?
No. I trust him, and that he wouldn't put me in a situation I wasn't ready for. I don't, I think that I did well for my first fight. So I know that a lot of people have been in martial arts for years before I have. Even my opponent, her first fight was before I ever had my first kickboxing lesson. So I don't feel that way. I think I'm competitive natured. So in my head, it was always like, like so and so's been training for 2 years. You just watch what I'm gonna do in 2 years and how much I'm gonna grow in 2 years. And that's just my competitive nature to want to be better all the time. And just, always compete against myself. And so I wanted to be better. And when he brought that up, I was gung ho. And everybody that I've gotten matched with has had loads more experience than I have. And it was something that I just got told, "You're gonna have to accept it. At this weight class, it's really hard, to find matches. So if you want to fight, accept that you're gonna be fighting girls with more experience than you." And I said, "All right, put me in, coach," kind of a thing.
Yeah, was your opponent like Thai origin? She definitely had the Thai last name, Chantavong.
She was low. She's Laotian.
Laotian,
Yeah, I didn't get to really speak with her, but she was very nice. And my cousins, I have cousins in Dallas because my fight was in Dallas, and they're half Laotian. And so I was like, "You better not root for her because she's half Laotian. We have blood ties. You need to root for me." But I think what she's doing is so cool. She's putting on for her people, just like I guess I want to put on for, my indigenous roots and my Latin background as well. So I think what she's doing is really cool.
Now, I saw you had a fight that you were scheduled to fight Denea Cruz, but the fight got canceled. What happened there?
Yes, so that was an MMA fight. That was scheduled for August. And coming out of that fight, this Muay Thai fight, I mean, the next day I told my coach, "Hey, I don't want to do it." And he's like, "What?" And I said, I don't want to do it. I'm not in the right mental headspace to worry about grappling right now. And he said, I'm not gonna make you do anything you don't want to do, and left it at that. And I told him, you know, I've had more time to process that. And I said, hey, I still want to do MMA. That's still a transition I want to make, but I've decided I kind of want to go the Alex, you know, Pereira route, where I focus on kickboxing and then make that transition. And that's because I haven't done jiu-jitsu or grappling since, I hadn't done it since April. And so coming out of that fight, I had a few weeks to just focus on grappling and be ready for an MMA fight, which everyone had, you know, in my team had the confidence in my abilities to do it. But at that point, I didn't have the confidence in myself or believe in myself. And so that's where I decided, no, I think for my career and my journey, it's best for me to pull out. I'm not ashamed to say it. I feel like I just had my first fight. She has eight fights over me, and I have no MMA fights. So, I wanted more time. I just want more time. And I have a goal, and I think by next summer I can make that transition to MMA. I recently I did a jiu-jitsu tournament and I got first place. So that kind of gave a little bit of a motivation, encouragement to, like, hey, you know, keep going and do grappling when you can. And I don't want to be one-dimensional. And so I'm still trying to work to be well-rounded and hopefully eventually make my MMA debut. It's something that I want and I look forward to. So yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to Denise a couple of times, so I'm familiar with her. She's got a lot of experience, so
Yeah,
yeah, it's
and
understandable.
I was like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I think she only has maybe one amateur fight left, and she's going to turn pro, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's fought some really good opposition already.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
neat. Well,
So,
you
how many fights do you think? Do you think you're going to have some more this year?
Yes, I've got something in the works. Fingers crossed. I'm looking at something in October, and if not, for sure, I'm gonna do XKO again in November. They want me back, and I'm excited, and it's a little hard because when I was training for the kickboxing fight in June, it was a kickboxing match, so that's K1 rules. Then I took this. You know, I took the Muay Thai fight on short notice, and it was everyone's bad, I guess. We didn't look at the rules, and so I wasn't fully prepared for sweeps and dumps. Which is like bad on our part, but it, you know, I went in and okay, well, now we know Muay Thai rules, so now we're gonna, you know, I'll be ready for Muay Thai fights. So, the plan is to do either or, is just to work my striking and get experience striking. I was very nervous my first fight. I was like a deer in headlights. You know, everyone that I talk to that's a fighter, that's like, you know, when I fight, it's nobody else is there except for me and my opponent. And that was not the case for me. I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many people. They're looking at me. There's cameras, there's lights. I'm really nervous. I can hear everything. And it was a different experience. And so I wasn't even fully present with myself or my opponent because I was just overwhelmed by, I think, the experience. But I'm glad to have had one, have experience under my belt now. And hopefully next time put on a better performance overall. I feel like I did that fight and I just kind of survived. That was more my mentality, survive instead of fighting, because I believe I have good hands. I don't think I would be here or be trying to do this if I didn't believe I had good hands. But I didn't let any of it go. I got real gun shy. So, you know, next time I can't wait to be better. For myself, more than anything, and put on a better performance.
Is that what you took away from it, looking back on it, is that you just weren't aggressive?
I do feel that. I feel like I was just trying, my mentality was just survive. Similar to a sparring round, and sparring is not fighting. And I realize that now, where it was just, oh my gosh, you know, just get through this. And that's kind of where I was instead of fighting back. And that's something that I take very personally, because I got into fighting, or the reason why I wanted to start fighting was because I felt like it would be very beneficial to my spiritual journey and growth. There was a time in my life where I accepted a lot of abuse, and I tolerated a lot of abuse. And so I want to fight, and I want to get into the cage, and I want to fight back. And that was my mentality kind of during camp. But then I realized when I got into the cage, I wasn't fighting back. I was surviving. So it's made me kind of go back and think, man, some of the things I thought that I've overcome spiritually, I really haven't. I need to make sure that I overcome those barriers and those mental barriers, so that next time I really do fight back. I need to go back and kind of heal some past traumas to be able to go in and do a better job.
How do you accomplish that?
Ooh, that's a hard question. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of meditating, a lot of praying, and a lot of self-care and love in the midst of chaos. My life is very chaotic. I do a lot, and I wear a lot of hats. But I have to make myself make time for me in whatever it is. So just being obedient in that sense, where I don't want to do this for myself, but I'm going to do this for myself because I love myself. And making myself do that, and reminding myself also that it's not just for me, but I have a 6-year-old kid, you know, I have a son that depends on me and is watching me. So I need to show him how to be healthy, not just physically, but how to be mentally healthy, so that he can go on forth and do that as an adult and make sure that he's okay here and okay here. So he can do well in life, because it's hard.
What I mean is, like, you need a timetable. Sometimes the fight doesn't match up with the timetable, you know, because they come at you like they did last time. We want you to do this. You know what I mean? And you haven't had the time to do what you need to do. So how does that work?
I feel like fight camp is something very spiritual too, because you're forcing yourself to be put in difficult, hard positions, and just tapping into that every day and telling yourself that you can overcome, I think is what, that's what I'm doing, and what I have been doing since the fight, is going back and taking myself years back to that trauma, to that time of my life when I was accepting and tolerating abuse every single day, and kind of like, now that I'm training, it's like, go faster, hit harder, not for me right now, but for her, for who I was a few years ago, you know, when I was in that dark place. And I feel like what I'm doing right now, the hard work that I'm putting, I'm fighting for that girl. And I, you know, well, we gotta hope it's enough. So
maybe it's not a timetable, it's more like where you're at when the offer comes.
Okay.
Is that what you think?
When, I mean, an offer has come, and something's in the works.
Like how I'm feeling at this time. Is how that am more I, like what it's like for you?
How am I feeling currently?
No, like You know how you say overcoming something?
Okay.
It's not like, okay, I need 4 months. It's more like, okay, where is my headspace at this time? When someone offers me this map, I can do it or I can't. Is it more like that?
I guess so. I know that when, I mean, when the fight with that with I turned down that fight with Danya because I knew I didn't have enough time. To f one, the actual physical part of it, the grappling, where I was going to feel comfortable and confident in myself, even if my team and my coach says, no, like the skills are there. If you don't believe that it's there, it's not going to come out because I don't believe that you're ready, right? And so I'm always my own critic and my own worst enemy. I knew that I wasn't going to be ready, but I think right now it's a little bit it's different. I've had time to digest everything. I've had time to, you know, look through here and look through here, and I do feel ready now. Like, okay, I'm already working on it. You know, yeah, let's do another one, and let's see what work I've done so far, right, in here and here. And I mean, if not, there's always another one and another one, and that's how I feel. I'm an amateur. I don't think that your record matters as an amateur, right? I'm learning, and I think it's gonna matter when I go pro. And so right now, I'm like, well, I don't care if I fight, I'm fighting girls with way more experience than me. I'm an amateur. It's not, you know, if it goes on my record, it doesn't matter. But the experience that I gain from that, from going with someone that's better than me, yeah, I'm down to do that all the time. I think it's also important to train with people that are better than you, you know, because it kind of forces growth. And so I'm down to do anything that's going to force growth and force me to get better.
So I know you may not want to say when or what fight it's going to be, but how long do you think it's going to be from now, since you seem to have some idea of when it's going to be?
6 weeks. We're
Okay.
just waiting for confirmation. So as soon as I get confirmation, I'll share it. But I'm excited, and I mean, they asked me Sunday night, and I was like, yes, let's do it. But they just said, okay, you know, let's get the confirmation first and make sure that I guess my opponent's okay fighting me, which I pretty sure it's gonna be a yes. So I'm
Maybe
like,
like late October.
yes.
That's interesting. So yeah, so not taking a huge amount, taking a little bit of time off, but not a
Yeah,
ton.
you know why? Because I want to enjoy my holidays.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to do one before, you know, because
Okay.
I want to enjoy my holidays. I don't want to work hard during my holidays. I want to kick back and relax. So that way, you know, next year I can hit the ground running again and go hard. But that's where the rush feels right now, because I have a kid. I want to bake cookies with my kid and, you know, bake pies with him and all that stuff, during the holidays, because that's when those memory, you know, those core memories are made. So I want to get something soon before the holidays come around.
Now, how much are you training per week, you think, on average?
Right now I do well, it's gonna change if now with kick with if I have this fight, but I train about 4 times a week, kickboxing, about twice a week, jiu-jitsu now, and I do CrossFit, and I do that as much as I can if my schedule allows. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. I love to go and lift big weights. I'll do that at minimum of 4 times a week. I try my best. If I could do it, if I had all the time in the world, man, I'd do all three of them every single day.
Does your kid come with you?
Mike, he does. They have a kids class at where I do, I guess, the strength and conditioning, and so he goes and he does class while I do class, and then I have him enrolled in wrestling, and so he loves wrestling so much, which is really, really cool, because I don't love grappling, but my son loves grappling, and right now that's what makes him happy. That's where he's at. So that's where I have him. And he does that. He does wrestling 3 times a week. So I take him, and he comes over here, and he's like, "Kickboxing is stupid," and I'm like, "Rude." But it's so funny. It's cool sometimes to see your kids and you know how they think that they know everything, and then sometimes he thinks I'm the coolest, and sometimes he thinks I'm the most lame person out there.
You know, when he gets high school age, he'll probably see some things in grappling that you don't see, you know, from wrestling as much as he does. So it might benefit you actually, you know. Because there's so many techniques in wrestling and transitions and things that, you know, he's probably going to see things or know things that maybe you weren't exposed to, perhaps, you know, especially once it gets to high school age when it gets more and more technical.
Yeah, he's so cool, that kid. You know, I called him when I lost my fight and I walked out. You know, I am a girly girl, and I'm not a girly girl because I grew up outdoors. I love being outside in the natural world. I was in FFA, you know, real country girl, cowgirl. But I am also a girly girl. I was also a cheerleader. So I got out of the fight, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, is my face okay? I'm okay. Okay, I'm okay." And I called my son, and he's like, "I saw your fight." He's 6. And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I guess you didn't even kickbox. I guess you just have to work harder." And I'm like, "Thanks for kicking me while I'm already down." He's hilarious. And so then I asked him, I said, "Hey, what do you think about mommy, you know, fighting again?" And he's like, "Well, you better get in the gym, girl." I'm like, "Wow." The little personality. But it's cool, you know. I have a you know, somebody little watching me, and I feel like if I don't work hard and I don't go chase the things that I want to do, you know, then I'm not going to show him that he can do the same. You know, I want him to go after all the things that he wants and really believe that the world is his oyster. So I'm excited.
So do you think it's something we're going to try to? I know you're talking about going pro, so you think you're going to try to do this more as a career while you're working or whatever?
I want, well, first I have to see where this goes. 'Cause I love what I studied. I love my job. I went in, and I feel like my family does not support this by no means whatsoever. They're kind of like, "You went to school so that you could go hit in the get hit in the face. Like, make that make sense." And they don't get it. And that's okay. You know, no, not everybody's gonna understand your journey or the things that you want. But it does make it hard. It does make it more difficult. Just trying to do a camp when I'm working and I'm taking my son to his own extracurriculars and trying to get my training in. And then also, you know, I'm gonna be restarting grad school because I took a break. That's a lot. It's a lot, and it's really, really hard. But I want to do it. I want to see how this goes, where this goes, and then, I mean, I guess if it gets to that point and I had to choose, I always have my degrees to fall back on, and those aren't going anywhere. So I'm not too worried about that. We'll see where the wind takes us.
Tell me about the cowgirl stuff, because that's hard stuff. Like, most people don't know how hard a lot of that stuff is. Tell
The
me
cow.
what you took part in as far as those competitions.
Oh. With cheerleading,
No, cow, did you say cowgirl or?
I grew up riding horses, but I actually cheered competitively. That was my main focus. So my summers were more leisurely, you know, horseback riding and trail riding or hanging out, I guess, kind of at the ranch. My dad was a big part of that. I think my dad is the coolest guy ever. He can break horses. He used to race horses. He's a horse farrier. Well, he used to be a horse farrier. You know, I grew up hunting, And so he's a big part of that, of growing up with just the coolest dad ever, is kind of where what made me study what I studied. I studied rangeland and wildlife management. That's what my bachelor's is in. And so I've done a lot of cool stuff just with my job. I got paid to do really cool things, whether it was like northern bobwhite surveys via helicopter platform. That's something really cool that people don't get to do or see. And it's like, geez, I'm getting paid and this is really cool. Just really, really cool outdoor experiences. Now it's a little bit different. My job is more educating and I guess outreach. So it's more connecting with people, but I do miss the being outside and working hard and working just on these big ranches. You know, there's been countless of times where you don't have any cell phone service and it's just me out there. And so where if I get stuck in an XUV having to walk miles until I get cell phone service to have someone come help me and stuff. So I have kind of that hard experience. In high school, everything was more leisure and fun. Horses were always fun to me. And hunting was always fun. It was my career, I think, that's been the hard, where I've found myself in difficult situations sometimes. And but I love it. I love it so much. So I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Now, do you find yourself watching any particular fighters since you kind of new into this kind of competition?
Before I didn't, and I wouldn't watch fights until more recently. I really like, and it sucks that he just lost, but I really like Israel Adesanya. He started off kickboxing. I still think he's an incredible kickboxer. And it's so funny and weird to say that when I saw his most recent fight, it almost looked like he wasn't there mentally. I'm not him, I can't speak for him, but it looked like he just wasn't there. And I related to that because I'm like, geez, when I go back and I look at my last fight, I feel like I went all three rounds just like I wasn't there. I wasn't fully present. And but he I you know I really like his fighting style. Maybe that just comes because I'm a kickboxer, and I love his hands. I love his striking. And I really like Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. That karate style, I'm a big fan of. And that's probably because I'm biased, because my coach is also a karate black belt, and my coach trained with him for a while, would help him with camps. And so there's a lot of that style, that karate style, that I see, and we work on once a week in our gym. We have karate, like a karate style striking kind of a day, and so I love that. I love both of those fighters a lot.
Yeah, Strickland didn't give him any space, you know, the kick.
I know. I mean, he looked good.
There was a short Greek fighter named Michael Zambidis. He used to compete in the K1 Max. K1 Max is a lighter version. K1, like, I forgot what the weight was, but he didn't kick much at all. But a very powerful puncher. A very, very powerful puncher. And he beat a lot of guys who could kick much better than him. He was short. Very short, but he could get inside because he knew how to move his head. And he'd beat a lot of guys that were very, very good because he was very explosive. And once he got close to them, very dangerous, you know. If it was far away, he had problems, you know, because they were better kickers than him and he wasn't good kicking. But once he got close, oof. I'll send you a video of him. Very
Yeah,
dangerous.
I would love to. I'd love to. But I guess just speaking of kicking and moving in and out, one of the things I saw from my last fight was I kept staying on the outside of my kicks. And so I know that if I take this fight, I'm gonna work on my boxing more, so that I can get in close and engage more. And I'm already talking to some boxers here in the Rio Grande Valley, to work on my hands, because I stayed up. I'm upset about it, you know, and I have to redeem myself. So I have to work on those things and just come out better and learn more. So we'll see. I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, so I saw someone like, not that Strickland's as good as Ambitus, like at punching, but kind of the same theory, like he would just throw like some wild snapping kick to get close to people's Ambitus. Like he wouldn't even try to land it. He'd
Just
just throw some just so he could get close, or a wild flying knee. But once he's this close, dangerous, So he would give guys no space to kick. As soon as there was any distance, he would rush back in,
Yeah.
And that's what Strickland was doing.
That was that threw me by surprise, but
If it was a distance, probably Adesanya beat him because his technique is better. But because it wasn't a distance, it was always
yeah.
this. It
And then
was to
that cool
Strickland's
crab you
advantage.
put in his
Yeah,
that
he's
was
covering.
cool.
He should kick him in his arms, I think. I remember Frank Shamrock, Kung Lee broke his arm. Kung Lee was a real good sand shoe fighter. And he just kept kicking Frank Shamrock in the arms, and he broke his arm. Maybe Adesanya could have just kicked him on his defense.
Broke.
Just tried to kick him on his arms. It don't matter if he blocks, just kick as hard as you can on his arms.
That
Yeah, it does. But I'm sure it's not as bad as the leg, or
Yeah, no,
the
that's
shin.
true. That's
That's what
true.
Kung Lee did. He would just kick Frank Shamrock's arm and then break.
To the oh.
These are all hindsight things, but
Yeah. Oh my
it
God.
was an interesting fight, though. It was very interesting that Strickland and Adesanya. I thought it was interesting
Yeah.
that Adesanya was letting him take the space away so much.
I know. It looked almost like if he, I don't know, he just like if he got in his head. I don't know. It was, I don't
Yeah, I
want
mean,
to.
it can happen to anybody. Yeah, it can
And I
happen.
just
But to
like,
see it happening in real time, it was
yeah.
interesting to see it play out. Yeah.
What was it called?
So what did you think of were the other fights on that card? I'm trying to remember the other one. They had the Adesanya was the main event, but what was the fight right before that one?
The Australian that got the knockout. What's his name?
Oh, Pedro.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Who else?
I'd have to go back and look. Are there any fights coming up that you're interested in?
Tracy Cortez, September 16th. I like her. I like her because she's pretty. I wish I knew. I wish I knew more. More fighters, and that I kept up more with it. I try my best. It's just so hard, but I remember just 2.5 years ago being told, hey, if you're interested in kickboxing or you like martial arts, you should start to follow people that you like so that you kind of get more introduced into this. And so I still feel like I'm still the new girl a lot. And Tracy Cortez was one of the first ones that I found and I liked. I felt like not just that she's pretty, it helps that she's pretty, but it was like, oh, she's pretty. I like her contact and her content, and she's pretty good. There was a lot of fighters that I was like, I don't really like their content. And I just, you unfollow just because I don't care. I want to see you fighting. I want to see you doing things that you like or things that make you happy. And so Tracy Cortez was one that I liked. Another one that I really like is she's from California, Jessica Clark. I love seeing Jessica Rose Clark's content. I think she's so badass and so cool. And I guess I like seeing these women that are that fight and do all these of these other things because I feel like that's me. I fight, but it's not the only thing that I do. It's like I'm Kayla, but I also fight. And so I love seeing Jessica Clark riding Harleys and with her dogs. And it's to me, it's like real inspiring and raw. And I like seeing women like that. It's those are the ones that I like and that I find just total badasses, because it's not their only personality trait. They have other things that they do, I guess. I don't know. I think they're badass.
Yeah, Cortez seems like a good person, even though she's kind of admired. It doesn't seem like it's gone to her head. You know,
Yeah.
she seems like a genuine person.
So far, it seems really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, or like Thug Rose too, you know? I like her. I think she's really cool. I can't think of other female fighters at the moment, but there's a lot of
Suarez
bad.
is one that I think is going to be really good. It's Tatiana Suarez, the wrestler.
Oh
So,
yeah. She looks
she's had a
bad.
lot of injuries, you know, that have kind of held her back and her knees and stuff. But when
Yeah.
she's healthy, danger.
She looks bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of her for sure. I barely, I guess, caught wind of her recently, and I'm like, damn, that's a bad bitch, you know? Like, that's cool. It's women like that that I'm like, oh, I want to be strong like them.
She probably could have wrestled in the Olympics had she not had all these injuries she had, you know, and then got an MMA and one and one and one injury, 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 you know, but one after another after another. So she missed like years.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she if
I'm
you look at
learning
her
a
record, she had a
lot.
she was off for a long time till this last fight, you know, and she's won like I think two or three. Maybe two or three in a row, but before that, a huge gap because she had that surgery and all kinds of crazy stuff back to back. Yeah. She would have probably been a champion by now, or at least fought for a title by now, otherwise,
I
for
think they'll
sure.
give her one, though. They'll give her a shot.
Oh, yeah. If she
Yeah.
keeps winning, no doubt. No
Well, she's beat
doubt.
a lot of the champs already, so.
Now, for you know, as we're kind of winding down this interview, I wanted to give you a chance to if there's anything you want to kind of talk about that we didn't, or something that's important to you, and also where people can find you know, follow you, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm very active on my Instagram. I try to keep my Facebook's more personal. I post my son a lot more on Facebook. I'm the annoying mom that tries to show their kid, you know, doing anything and everything, and I'll own up to that. I am that mom. But my Instagram, I tried to is more it's a little bit more about me. Although I throw him in every now and again, and you'll see a lot of not just martial arts stuff, but also a lot of my work stuff that I like to do. And that's on Kristen underscore Kayla. My first name is Kristen, if you didn't know, or if that wasn't obvious. But no, I thank you for wanting to talk to me and to get to know more about me. You know, I'm the new kid on the block, but I don't want it to stay that way. So I'm excited, just to go out there and to do this again and see, you know, how much I learned and how much I can overcome, and then kind of just keep going from there. So we'll see. We'll see.
That was a great talking to you, and yeah, look forward to seeing you compete again. I'd love to have you on again. Anything you want to do, I'd be up for
Well, that'd be cool. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate that.
it. So it was great talking with you, and until next time, everyone who checks out this interview, appreciate it. Till next time, take care.
Bye.
'All right, so I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. And another thing that I wanted to talk about is I started a merch shop on Fourth Wall. So I'm going to put the link in the show notes here, and I'll also start putting on my YouTube also. But, you know, I can
create pretty much any product that I want, you know, clothing wise, and even some things like bottles and mouse pads and all that kind of crazy stuff. But if you're interested in any of that kind of stuff, like I said, I'll put the link in the show notes here, and I'll also start putting it up on my YouTube. It'll be a Todd Atkins Show merch. So if you wanted to ever check out any of that, feel free to hit me up to my email, which is toddsatkins@yahoo.com, and I can direct you there as well. So as always, I appreciate the support. Listen to these episodes, and I got more episodes I'm going to be uploading here shortly. Take care.